Jeremiah 31:31-34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite Randy, or should I say Jeremiah, to share with us.
Oh, hello. How y'all doing? I'm not sure if you know me. My name's Jeremiah. Some call me the Prophet Jeremiah. I do have a nickname as well. It's not the most uplifting nickname. Some call me the Weeping Prophet. I know, a bit of a downer to start. Anyway, I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Sorry, I've been walking a lot recently and my feet are killing me. I've been walking miles and miles and miles. Everywhere. I was told by God, mind you, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, the house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. And that word go, boy, that's what I've been trying to do. I'm going to the house of Israel, walking miles and miles and miles, trying to remind them of who God is and the kind of people God wants them to be. So I've been walking to Samaria in northern Israel. I've walked to Beersheba, Bethel. I'm walking down in the southern kingdom of Judah as well, in places like Kadesh and Bardia and Hebron. Like I said, I just walk from place to place doing what God asked me to do. Guy, I don't know how many miles I've walked, but I think there is someone that said, anywhere is walking distance if you have the time. Or maybe someone's going to say that in the future. I'm not sure. Anyway, bottom line, I'm walking all over the place. I've been praying a lot as well as I've been walking. Praying that God's outpouring love would just be known amongst the people of Israel, and that the people of Israel would respond to God's love. There's this amazing poet who writes prayers. He lived about maybe 400 years before me. His name was King David. Anyway, he was this amazing writer, really good at poetry, and he had these incredible prayers that he would pray. And some of them have gotten written down and passed on that we have been continuing to pray in Israel. And he has this one prayer that's just, I've been praying it a lot as I've been walking all through Israel. And it's this prayer. It says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. So as the prophet from God, I am asking the people of Israel to walk in God's truth, to remember God's truth. Well, let me back up a little bit here and tell you a little bit more about where I've come from. See, my father was a priest who lived about 3 miles north of Jerusalem. And I was called by God for this prophetic mission when I was just a really young man. And I believe now, through the years, that I've been living in some really difficult years in Israel. Tragic. That's part of the reason why I've been weeping a lot and crying for my people Israel. See, I'm living during the reign of some kings who have not followed God. Now, not all of them have been bad. Like King Josiah, he has ruled during my lifetime, and he truly did try to follow God, I believe, and encourage the people not to be worshiping the gods of Baal and to store up for themselves and be greedy. I really think King Josiah had a heart for God, and I celebrated that, and I reminded the people of that, and I thanked King Josiah for remembering Yahweh. But it just seemed like after Josiah, everything just started going downhill, and Israel forgot again the commandments and the covenant of God. And King Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, I mean, they just did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they brought in all these other gods to worship. And now, while the people, they seem to have forgotten that, in fact, Yahweh wanted to be their king the whole time. That Yahweh never wanted them to have an earthly king. Yahweh wanted to be their king, the kingdom of God. But I don't know. It just seems like everybody wants to have a king. And everybody else has a king. Why shouldn't Israel have a king, I guess? That's what I hear a lot as I'm going from place to place. Well, see, this is a lot of the reasons why I've been lamenting. In fact, I've been writing a lot of my laments down in letters. Maybe you've heard of them. It's a book of lamentations. Maybe someday I will compile all of them together. It's kind of depressing reading. I'm just going to warn you. It turns out that being a prophet really isn't the most popular thing these days. In fact, I'm very unpopular with the people. They are constantly telling me that I am always negative, that I am always telling them all the things they are doing wrong, and, well, I'm going to be honest with you, some people actually even want to kill me. The feedback that I get is that I just use really strong language, like very strong, vivid words, and that my preaching style tends to be rather harsh. Well, let me just, can I get your opinion on something? I just wrote this the other day. Now, mind you, this is words from God. I'm simply trying to tell the people what I hear God telling me to say. I am a prophet from God. But I wrote this the other day, and I really got some harsh feedback. But this is what I wrote. I said, "This wicked people who refuses to listen to my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts, and have gone after other gods to serve and to bow down," end quote. Or what about this one? "Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger, and it will burn forever." Do you think it's a little harsh? Or maybe it's not harsh enough. I think I'm just going to go with it. Like I said, I'm God's prophet, and so I believe that it's God speaking through me. I'm just trying to be faithful to God, Yahweh, creator of the heavens and the earth. See, because I'm calling people out, I'm not trying to just be negative. I'm trying to get them to remember the original intentions of how God wanted them to live. I have suffered great opposition for trying to tell them. I have suffered persecution from people. And like I said, I really think there's some people that want to see me dead. Scary. Well, anyways, recently I've been thinking a lot about this word covenant. Have you heard of covenants? I'm assuming you have heard of Noah and his family, and Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob, and what was his wife's name? Rachel. See, God has made some amazing covenants throughout hundreds and hundreds of years before me, even, with these people. not just those people in Israel, but if I remember, the covenant that was made with Noah and Noah's family was for the entire creation. All people. Even the birds and the animals. And all of creation. This incredible covenant that God made. Promises that Yahweh made that God will be their God and Israel will be God's people and God will bless them greatly and out of them God will bring his salvation to all people, not just Israel. A covenant promise that Israel has been blessed to be a blessing to the whole world. A covenant promise that God's going to do some amazing things through this people. And in response to God's incredible love and grace and salvation, God is asking Israel to respond in a way that acknowledges Yahweh as Lord. God is asking them to respond in a way in how they live that shows that they love God and love others. And so there's been some of these covenants that have been passed down to try to show this way to live. There's a really pretty famous covenant that was made. You may have heard of it. It was a covenant that was made on Mount Sinai, on the mountain at which the Ten Commandments were given to Moses by God. It was hundreds of years ago, before me. There are commandments that are meant to give this best kind of life possible for Israel. Not to just be legalistic and a bunch of rules to follow, but more that this will give you the best kind of life possible with God and with others. It's life-giving commandments. See, God created Israel, I believe, to be a people that can live the best kind of life that is best for them and their families and their communities and their neighbors. And it all seems to be grounded in remembering God and God's love and to do it with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's this really great commandment that has gotten passed down just generation after generation. It says this, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all thy mind." I'm just trying to get people to remember that. And like I said, though, they wanted their own earthly king and they wanted their security and they ended up getting really greedy and forgetting their neighbors. They forgot the commandments to look out for the foreigner, to look out for the orphan, the immigrant. That was pretty important to God. And the way that God wants his people to live. Basically, as I understand God speaking through me, is that if you're going to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you have to love others as well. Like the immigrant, the widow, and the orphan, and those who are often forgotten by society. But they just don't seem to get it. And I've been walking and walking and walking from place to place, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, trying to remind them, and they don't seem to like it very often. In fact, they have been worshiping other gods of Baal. They have forgotten so much. I'm even trying to remind them of the prophet Isaiah, who also came before me. And one of the things that the prophet Isaiah said that I can never forget it. It's just so powerful. He said, and again, the prophet Isaiah, we believe, was simply speaking through the living God, Yahweh, and speaking the words of Yahweh to the people. And one of those things he said, this vision of God, you will beat your swords into plowshares that we can use for our farming and agriculture, that we can use to make food for our communities. But it's such a beautiful picture of the way we see God, Yahweh, wanting us to live that's not so much based on violence, but more of a peaceful kind of living together. This is a vision that God has given us to live for Israel. Well, all that to be said, these covenants that God has made, they have been broken. Not broken by God, but by Israel. And that is why I am weeping, because of that. And I weep because God is also saying that there is going to be destruction and that Israel will likely be taken captive from the Babylonian people. And that I am to be a prophet that tells them and warns them of this. That brings me great sadness. And so while I have been walking and lamenting this morning, I also wanted to tell you that I don't have all bad news. While it's true that Israel has forgotten God's ways, I am just blown away by Yahweh again and again, because Yahweh God has also given me words to speak as a prophet, and they're words of hope this morning. They're words of good news that God, Yahweh, is still not going to give up on God's people. Throughout the hundreds and hundreds of years of Israel, God's love and God's covenants and promises just keep enduring forever and ever and ever. There's a lot of beautiful poetry and psalms, some written by King David, like I shared, and by other amazing people, and they just speak of God's amazing love and grace poured out. And then that continues today, and one of the things that I'm prophesied to the people is that there is, in fact, a new covenant that God is making with his people. See, I'm here to prophesy that even though the old covenant was broken by Israel, there is this new covenant that is surely coming. The Lord says that. It's not just coming, it's surely coming. And so if you are here, well, I might as well just tell you some of the things that I've been writing and speaking to the people. This is what I have. You can listen in. It says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." I love that part that God is speaking through me. That it's from the least to the greatest. Even for those often forgotten, says the Lord, "and I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." While I've been lamenting, I am so thankful and celebrating these words that God is speaking through me. That God is showing forgiveness, and there's something in the future that's going to happen. I don't completely know what all of it is, but I believe that I am to speak words of hope, that God is going to show his forgiveness and his love in a way that we can't even imagine yet. But that out of that, there will be this incredible salvation for all that believe and follow in God's ways. I just love and celebrate that God is doing something new. And in the new covenant, God will continue to be their God, and we will be God's people. This idea of forgiveness just really sticks with me. That God will remember their sin no more. See, the word new, as I've been walking and praying, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth." And then thinking about God doing a new thing a new covenant, a new creation, a new testament, maybe. This word new is just giving me so much hope, because we need new life in Israel. We need new kings that will remember God's ways and people that will remember who Yahweh is and how to love. But we need something new here. We need some transformation. We need a new covenant. And so I'm celebrating that God is going to do something new. And we have hope in that. A new covenant is foretold that will fulfill God's work with humanity. In this new covenant, God is telling me that there are no betweens and no go-betweens. We are going to no longer have a need to go to a mediator. There's something new that God is doing where I believe God himself will come and show us salvation and forgiveness in a way that none of us can ever imagine yet. But we are looking forward to it. And I am telling the people of this new thing that God will surely do. This is big news, and this is why I'm prophesying this. This is pointing, I believe, to salvation. This new covenant will surely look back, and it will not forget the past covenants that have been made with our ancestors, like Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and all of the house of Israel. This new covenant is not just getting rid of all those. It's in some way just re-emphasizing the things that God did. And then it's also pointing us forward to something else to look forward to that we can't imagine yet. But I do hope and I pray as I am walking that in spite of all of my lamentations, this new thing that God is doing can be an encouraging word for all of you this morning. That God has not forgotten you. That God's love still endures forever. And God's grace and covenant promise is for you. And as I have been walking and praying throughout the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdoms of Judah, I have a prayer that I wanted to share with all of you. A prayer as I have been walking. It's a prayer that names God's promise for Israel. And really, I think it's a promise that God is saying to all of God's people, and even you. And it's a prayer of hope. A prayer that speaks to the new covenant. A prayer that shows forgiveness in a way that we have not seen yet. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, that the days are surely coming when a new covenant will be enacted. God, we know that you know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. Then we believe that we will call on you and come and pray to you, and you will listen to us. When you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. Thank you, God, for the new covenant in Jesus. In this journey of Lent, we thank you for the prophet Jeremiah. Thank you for the prophet Jeremiah's calling out and also pointing forward to the hope of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. God, this morning I pray that we can remember again that despite the journeys that we've been on where we have forgotten your ways, in many of the same ways that Israel has had forgotten, that you still have not given up. God, this morning may we remember the new covenant in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.